Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And we have with us on the line Dr. Carrie Lewis from the Riverside Cat Hospital in Okemos. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Lewis.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you on the show. Dr. Lewis, we've been talking in the previous segment a little bit about the treatment of cats around Halloween and how some people might actually adopt them and abandon them after the holiday or mistreat them. What kind of experience have you had at your hospital with cats around the Halloween period? Is there an uptick in mistreatment or abandonment?
Well, luckily, I think most people that adopt cats either from shelters or from breeders are going to be responsible owners, but occasionally, particularly around Halloween, you do hear stories about people that are looking for specific types of cats, maybe black cats or even black dogs, because of the novelty of it or, just wanting to play a prank. Luckily, it's not as big of a problem as I've heard of in the past. So it's pretty rare to see problems nowadays with people adopting and then abusing animals. And in addition, I think a lot of shelters have been more careful about adopting certain types or breeds of animals at this time of year just to help and try and prevent that kind of problem.
Yeah, the fact that they're very deep in their questioning of people to understand what kind of adopters they're dealing with, I'm sure makes it a lot tougher for those who might not have the right intentions.
Yeah, absolutely. Particularly nowadays, you'll find most shelters are pretty strict in terms of questioning potential adopters to make sure that they're going to be able to provide a good home for the animal.
Yeah, and that can be very useful. Dr. Lewis, can you tell me what kind of problems go on this time of year? I mean, I think of a bunch of kids walking around with a bunch of candy, and all I can imagine is that a bunch of that candy ends up on a bunch of grounds and a bunch of animals end up eating it. What kind of problems does that cause?
Well, you certainly want to avoid the temptation to give any sort of Halloween candy or any other types of sweets to your pets, dogs or cats. The biggest problems with candy like that we see with pets is, of course, the problem with chocolate toxicity. Dogs and cats both cannot tolerate chocolate. They can't metabolize it properly and will have neurological problems if they ingest enough of it. Luckily, most cats don't really have much of a taste for chocolate, so we don't see that problem too often, but it is a problem if the cat eats the chocolate. And another newer one, particularly for dogs again, is a problem with xylitol toxicity. Xylitol is an artificial sweetener that we see in a lot of candies and sugar-free gums nowadays, and even things like yogurt, artificially flavored yogurt or sweetened things like that can have xylitol. So, you know, if you're ever thinking about feeding your pets treats, try and stick with treats that are manufactured for pets and avoiding the people food and sweets, even if your animal seems to like them.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that when they beg, there might be a temptation there, but the human beings are supposed to be the ones who know better. So hopefully we don't do that. Dr. Lewis, in terms of taking care of cats this time of year, what kind of problems take place with the fact that it's getting darker earlier, it's getting colder outside? Are there any seasonal issues going on, especially with those feral cats that we've talked about a lot during your past appearances on the show? Do they cause any problems this time of year?
Well, as it starts to get colder, you may notice stray or feral cats trying to get a little closer to the house, maybe getting into the garage or your shed. So if you have cats that hang around like that, or if you have an outdoor cat, you might want to think about trying to provide a warm place for that cat to have shelter. Maybe a small dog house or a box of some sort with some sort of insulator like hay, so that the cats aren't getting into locations where they shouldn't be. Another common wintertime problem is cats that will crawl into car engines after you've parked your car and your engine is warm, and then later on when you start the car and drive away, the cat's still in it. You know, we can we can see some pretty bad injuries. So it's always a good idea to kind of thump on the hood of your car before you start it in the wintertime, just to dislodge any stray cats that might be hiding up there trying to stay warm.
Right. And I would also imagine that because these stray or feral cats are hanging closer to the house, again, it just adds to the importance of making sure that spaying and neutering is taking place so that we don't get a bunch of extra kittens, especially as we get closer to the winter.
That's right. We traditionally think of kitten season as being in the springtime and early summer, but cats can have kittens all year round, so you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, with cats congregating closer to buildings, it's another good reason to keep your cat and your dog up to date on parasite preventatives so that they don't contract fleas or intestinal parasites, even during the winter.
Yeah, I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, that with all of the leaves on the ground, a lot of time that's how fleas and ticks tend to get on animals, is because they're playing in leaves on the ground and fleas and ticks happen to be there, and it adds up to a problem if you don't keep your pets up to speed when it comes to getting those treatments done.
That's right. I mean, until we really have a good amount of snow on the ground, your pet is still susceptible to contracting fleas and even ticks when they go outdoors. So it's definitely a good idea to continue that sort of preventative medication year-round.
Right. And Dr. Lewis, one last thing, and again, it gets back to the issue of Halloween. The issue of black cats, one thing that I've heard, and I don't know if it's true, is that just because two black cats get together doesn't mean they will have a black cat. It's possible that the pigment of the fur will vary from those of the parents. Is that, in fact, the case?
That is true. I mean, it can be hard to predict. Sometimes we see litters of kittens that look all identical to the mother or the father, and at other times we see a litter of 8 or 9 kittens, and each kitten looks absolutely, nothing like the others and nothing like the parents. So it's impossible to predict. Sometimes with purebred cats that have a specific color pattern like Siamese, you'll get more consistency from one generation to the next. But for the most part, you don't know what you're going to get. It could be any color that comes out.
Right, and that's why, as we were talking about how black cats sometimes aren't as popular as some of the other colors, that doesn't mean that it's not a wonderful cat who came from wonderful parents, and it just happens to be that that's how the fur came out, but that doesn't make it less lovable.
Absolutely not. In fact, I personally know some black cats that are, some of my nicest patients.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Well, we've been talking this morning with Dr. Carrie Lewis from the Riverside Cat Hospital in Okemos. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Dr. Lewis. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to have a discussion with Julia Palmer from the Capital Area Humane Society right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.